Greg and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com. Welcome to the show, coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thanks for listening wherever you are. We talk about everything and everything on the show, and if you're not offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. Ziggy to my right and your left.
Yo.
Going to read an ad or something?
Escalating electricity costs are out of control, but you can fix it. Seize control of your energy bills by making the switch to solar power. Call Alex Garnfeld at 925-791-1776 for a complimentary consultation and a quote. You can still take advantage of their introductory deal, $1 a month for your first 6 months. Act now, 925-791-1776, and begin saving money. Let them know Drake and Scott sent you for the Ziggy discount.
Oh, it's the Ziggy discount.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Moving up in the world, Ziggy.
Well, we have stuff to talk about today that we've been teasing for weeks and we've never gotten to. So I didn't add anything for this week's show because we have all this stuff that we haven't talked about. So I thought we would do that. We've got people skipping hygiene, which have you noticed? I've noticed. This woke school board member who's been accused of racism in Seattle, we got to get to her. And illegal aliens getting special treatment when it comes to home ownership. Maybe we'll get to this never tell a narcissist they're a narcissist because they go bonkers. All kinds of stuff. There was a new poll that a new poll in San Francisco that says citizens there were serious about or starting to get serious about cleaning up the city, but they'll never vote that way, and we'll hopefully get to that. So I'm feeling kind of grumpy today because I haven't been sleeping well lately.
You're grumpy, so, still skin.
Yeah. So if I just start getting really snarky or something, maybe now I'm setting up a.
We should have a mute button for you.
I have a mute button for all of us, actually.
I know, but you control all the buttons.
Yeah,
we should have one.
I want a button.
See, so I just muted both of you. So now it's my show. I can say anything I want. So there you go. Scott, do you have a crazy on the way to open things up with?
Oh, am I on now?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, welcome back.
So now you're off.
I was going
back on.
I was going with the. I was having a good morning, which I'm not a morning person. So to have a good morning, that's crazy. I was going to go with that. I was driving here, good mood, everything's great, traffic's good. I'm like, man, I'm not going to have anything to say for crazy on the way. I'll just talk about how great my morning is, and that's crazy because it never happened. And then I roll up on this dude. So I'm coming down the main drag, and this guy's walking. He's got full-length pants on. He's got decent shoes on, his hat, sunglasses. And I'm like, oh, wait, what is that shirt? Wait, no shirt? Guy's walking down the street, no shirt on. I think he was holding it in his hand. I don't know if he was trying to get sun, pick up some vitamin D or something like that. But it was the weirdest thing, just seeing this guy walking along. He seemed like a normal dude, not a homeless guy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the greatest physique to look at, but it wasn't the worst physique. I mean, he looked better than me, if you know what I mean. But I just thought, it was just kind of weird. So I was thinking I might just, in fidelity and unity, I might go shirtless today.
Oh,
for the show.
Okay.
Just show my support.
Well,
for
hang
this
on. Let me get the
random
stripper. Let me get the stripper music.
Bow, bitch, and, bow. Well, it's actually the second reason. I didn't think of this until I saw the guy with no shirt. But this morning when I was coming out, I picked out my shirt and my stuff. I come walking out, and my wife starts immediately laughing. I'm like, what? She's like, what's that shirt?
You're wearing now?
The one I'm wearing now.
This one that looks like a patch quilt of denim squares that are all sewn together?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
That's what it looks like.
Okay. Well, that's why she's laughing. She's like, where did you get the shirt? Well, I was surfing, buying some stuff, and some shirts came up, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get myself a shirt. And they were cheap price. And I said, why are you laughing? She said, it looks like you're wearing a quilt. And that's what you just said. You just came up with the same.
Well,
answer.
I mean, you can see quilt. You can see the squares, and they're all obviously stitched. And
okay, we're not taking a poll on this. Okay,
yeah. I didn't say it looked bad.
I might
bad,
be taking this shirt off. That's it.
I didn't say it looked bad. It's
I'm
just,
thinking about trying to wear it to my day job.
Okay,
and see if I can pull that one off.
Right on. Do it. Go, in fact, go shirtless to your day job and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, you were curious about that story, weren't you?
Yes. I want to know the backstory as to why.
Oh, the backstory.
Was this a fellow who was maybe spending the evening with a woman who's not his wife and had to jump out the
walk
window?
Of shame.
And, the walk of shame and couldn't get dressed in time. So he just,
Well, he was in no hurry. He was just strolling along.
Well,
plenty of time.
Because he already escaped the house.
Yeah,
so the husband is... dealing with the wife now, so he's already had to run. He probably ran like three blocks, and then it's like, okay, I'm safe now. I can slow down and walk, right?
Wouldn't the first thing you do be to put your shirt
that
on
makes
then?
Sense.
I can only go back to a story my father told of basic training when he was in the Army. You know, they have you stand out overnight and guard the barracks. You know, it's fire watch. So one night he's out, pulling his fire watch duty. Mm. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and he sees his drill sergeant running toward him, and the drill sergeant is only wearing his shorts. And so the drill sergeant comes up and says, look, you got to go in the barracks and get my spare uniform. And he's like, okay, and goes in and gets it. And as the drill instructor is dressing there, he says, yeah, I was at my lady friend's house and her husband came home and I had to run out without my clothes. So, you're telling this story, it makes perfect sense to me that that's exactly what happened. And he didn't have time to put his shirt on, and he was exerting himself to get away, so he's just like, leave the shirt off for a little while.
Trying to cool off from his run?
Could be. I mean, it explains you said nice pants and shirts, right? And shoes, right?
Decent. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he was dressed up in a suit pants or anything.
Oh, okay.
No, there was just like a nice pair of jeans or something.
I see.
It was weird. If the husband's shown up and he senses something and he goes out looking for this guy, isn't the naked guy from the waist up your first candidate? You put the shirt on if you don't want to get caught.
I don't know. I've never been in that situation.
I just thought it was weird. I'm wondering about this guy if he maybe has other basic hygiene routines that he fails to do.
Could be. I don't know.
You wear a shirt because this article we're going to get to says 15 basic hygiene routines most people fail to do. I think there's actually 16. The 16th is wear a shirt. You should just wear a shirt.
Just wear a shirt.
I don't know. Okay. Unless it looks like a quilt.
No, no one has said the shirt is ugly.
No, I know. Just, but this the is, moment it, I said my wife had a problem with it, you said, well, it looks like I was
describing the shirt for our listeners because we're not on video here. So no one can see the shirt. I had to describe the shirt.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, I'm feeling very self-conscious about my shirt. Oh, wait, no, now I'm over it.
Well, mine's got a burn hole in it from cigars here, so, nothing's perfect.
Well, I guess not.
Yeah, okay. Ziggy, any silly things you saw on your way
any
over
crazy
here
on the way, Ziggy?
Yeah. The only thing crazy was I got up early today.
What's early
for
you?
Like, well, it's my day off, quote-unquote. I try to sleep in. Normally, I roll out of bed and then show up here. But today, I got up about 7:30. Had time for a nice breakfast. It was a little crazy.
Had breakfast?
Weird.
And you shaved?
Yeah. Well, that was Friday.
Yeah, no one can see this either, but Ziggy has removed all facial hair.
Yeah, he looked different today. I thought, this isn't Ziggy. What happened to Ziggy? And then it's like, oh, he took off the goatee. Yeah.
He had a run summer, with summer Delilah. Delilah had shaved his head in the night.
Oh, is that right?
She shaved my face. I lost my power.
No more strength.
You never had power to begin with. Go on.
It's true. Guy can dream, though, can't he?
That's right. I don't have anything crazy to report. I'm just glad I was able to get here today because I haven't been sleeping well the last week and a half.
Well, so. That's your crazy on the way is you haven't been sleeping for a week. Right.
Well, I
waking sleep, up in the night.
I sleep off and on. It's not, I'm not...
I got a guy.
A total zombie. Well, you got a guy that will do what?
I mean, he can help you.
Hit me over the head with a cast iron frying pan or what?
No, he'll
whatever
just,
you need.
He'll just rub your shoulders while you quietly fall asleep.
You know the old guy with the trench coat and like...
He's got all the stuff.
Thousand right? steps.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Let's go to our hygiene story here. 15 basic.
But a bonk on the head could be an option if you need it.
Well, you know, I've thought of it many times. You know, just conk me, you know, just not too hard. You don't want to crack my skull, but just enough to knock me out. So, this the website here, The Busy Retiree. 15 hygiene practices that many people neglect but are crucial for staying clean and healthy. Okay, number one, cleaning under fingernails. I don't think I've ever done that.
Do you keep your nails long enough that you can catch anything under them?
Well, lately, yeah, I'm a few days behind, but normally I keep them so short because I got to play guitar. You know, you can't have long nails and play guitar, so I keep them really short. I don't see any reason.
Wait, you play guitar?
Yeah, not well, but I do.
Oh, I'm dreaming of a future segment now.
Of what? Of me?
Ooh, jam sessions.
Bringing in the Jag and just what?
Brian Drake's naked guitar playing. Well, oh, you got to have me play something.
I really don't know how to play anything. I just kind of strum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never keep my fingernails long enough. I always cut them.
Yeah,
so right. Cleaning under the fingernails for me just means cut your nails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So. But what do I know? I like cold toilet seats.
Washing reusable water bottles? What is this? Reusable water bottles are eco-friendly but can harbor bacteria if not cleaned regularly. Simply rinsing them out is not enough. Use hot soapy water and a brush. Who you?
The lady in the picture is holding like one of those clear plastic bottles.
Yeah.
You don't reuse those.
You don't. You
just throw them in the trash.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure if this one applies to me either. Yeah. So changing, I mean, if you got one of those, what do they call them? Stanleys, the big vacuum sealed ones, right, the metal ones with fancy lid and all that. Yeah, you got to wash. Just run them through the dishwasher.
You run them through the dishwasher. Changing pillowcases regularly.
Weekly.
Or cleaning electronics.
I'm 3 for 3 on this.
Washing hats and headgear, that I understand.
Cleaning electronics. They got a video game console.
Disinfecting makeup brushes.
Not guilty.
There's my problem.
Either. What about hats and headgear? Did you do that one?
We throw them in the wash. I mean, but
except for baseball caps. You can't wash cap. You lose all the structure.
Yeah, this article is stupid because it's not talking about anything that... I mean, some of the people I smell around here, you know, it's like, no, this isn't covering any of that.
Yeah, no, this is...
Disinfecting makeup brushes.
Do you wash your makeup brushes, Brian?
Apparently not. I've never thought of it. Sanitizing handbags and purses.
Do you wash your purses, Brian?
They catfished us with the name there, Brian.
They did. Cleaning earbuds and headphones.
These don't seem like...
Notice I haven't answered the question about the purses.
Hygiene things.
Here we go. Scrubbing behind ears. Yeah, that should be a given. Washing your shower curtain. Yeah, because it grows things. Disinfecting...
Washing your shower curtain. Does that just mean get a new one?
Get a new one or spray it with...
the big old plastic things?
Yeah, or we have glass doors on ours, but you got to spray it and scrub it with the stuff. Disinfecting remote controls.
Is that the same as cleaning your electronics?
I guess. I should have read this before we started. Cleaning.
Are we afraid of our electronics? Like they're going to harbor something so much that we're going to get sick?
I have never cleaned a remote. I mean, I wipe down my computer keyboards because I get cigar ash all over them, but that's about it.
Are we germ-phobic now as a culture? Post 2 weeks to slow the spread. Wash this, disinfect that. I'm trying to build my immune system rather than protect it.
I still see people alone in their car wearing their masks. So, I mean, cleaning hairbrushes and combs and washing bed sheets regularly. I mean,
isn't that the same as pillowcases, though?
It should be, yeah.
This is really a list of about 8 things instead of 15.
Flossing daily.
Cleaning and disinfecting trash bins.
Oh, my God.
I do that. Because your trash cans collect some pretty nastage. You got to take those out in the yard and
hose
them down and maybe a little bleach mix or something. I've done that quite a few times.
Yeah. There's one of my neighbors has some sort of service they pay for where people come by and clean out their trash cans.
Oh, wow.
Once a week, once a month, something like that.
Really? You can't just do that yourself?
Well, this crew has like this big power washing thing.
Sounds like a first world problem right there.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, here's a real hygiene one. Flossing daily.
Yeah.
Show of hand.
Yeah, every night.
Okay.
Because I don't. My dentist likes to yell. And
I think I'm over on all these.
Yeah.
You know what they missed?
Mm.
Wearing a shirt. If you go out in public, wear a shirt. Even if you're a dude. I always think it's weird. You know, like, when I'm walking to the pool, mm-hmm. I wear a shirt. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm in my trunks and I'm going to jump in the pool in a second.
Right.
But you, I don't know.
I know. So do I.
Wear a shirt.
Yeah.
I've actually been known to wear a shirt in the pool.
Yeah. Because, yeah, nobody wants to see that. You know what I mean? Yeah,
nobody. Well, it's weird. It's like my dad always said, if you want to sell something, put it in the window. Ain't nothing for sale here, man. Not worth anything.
Well, we got to take a break. So we'll come back with stuff that's a little more serious. It might make a little more sense. But and during the break, we're going to scrub our electronic equipment here. And
you're going to clean our electronics? Get the Clorox. So I got to clean under my fingernails. And
yeah, you do that. I'll wipe down the
I'm
board.
I'm wash behind my ears.
Okay, right on. We'll be right back. Greg and Scott with Ziggy back with you on Radioslot.com. Moving on from our
list,
hygiene list. Now let's get into a woke school board member who's actually racist or accused of being racist. So this happened in Seattle. This school board chief closed down a school's gifted and talented program because they had too many white and Asian students in it. Documents show she was also previously accused of racism by a colleague. In 2021, Chandra Hampson was found to have violated the policy against harassing, intimidating, and bullying over the treatment of two black employees who were working on an anti-racism plan. These anonymous complaints accused Hampson of launching an orchestrated campaign of bullying, escalating intimidation, gaslighting, and retaliation against them, according to this report. So, we need to be nicer to people who aren't white, yet we're going to harass people coming up with anti-racism plans and close down gifted and talented education programs because it's full of Asians and white people.
Yeah.
Make this make sense, somebody.
Well, white people are wrong, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
wrong.
And we want to shame Asians for working hard and being smart.
I see.
Apparently. What I love is the next section. It talks about no actual evidence, no clear evidence was presented. So we're going to attack this lady with no evidence.
Well,
we're guilty until proven innocent.
Okay, so then, Brian. Okay, so now she's getting a taste of her own medicine then. So they can't prove it, but they say she's done it, and everybody believes it because she's white, and the people accusing her are black, and yeah.
Well, I don't like the idea of attacking somebody with zero evidence, but her violation, she shut down a talented program?
A gifted and talented education program, yeah. That's or gifted and tell everybody, as we used to call it.
If you wanted more people than the whites and the Asians, then get some of the other ethnic groups into the talented program.
But you had to qualify. You had to reach a certain academic level. I remember this when I was in grade school because I had a buddy that was telling everybody, oh, I just got into GATE. And it's like, you know what? He didn't shut up about it. And it's like, you're going to get thrown off the roof here, kid, if you don't knock this off. That's why it became, instead of gifted and talented education, it became gifted and tell everybody.
That's funny.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because
nice
that's
acronym.
Well, that's all they did was talk about it. And it's like, you're looking at a blanket party here if you don't shut your mouth. And so anyway.
Their fix here.
So it does.
No, let's hold kids back.
Yeah.
And provide no avenue for the kids who are behind to proceed forward into a better program. Let's just shut down more things. In fact, let's stop teaching English and math, science, history, even art. We're just going to do woke social justice.
Well, hang on. There is some belief in some areas of education that math is racist. That math is racist.
Oh, stop.
And hang on. Here we go from CNN.
I saw that.
This is from 2016. Math is racist. How data is driving inequality.
If you go farther into this article, 3.4% of the students in the class were black. And so she shut down the program that this 3.4% of students were going to participate in. So maybe she is racist.
Could be.
I mean, the previous accusation was anti-black also.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we found the story.
Oh, okay.
So it was hidden behind the whites and the Asians.
So why is it that when the people that say, you know, yell the loudest that racism is bad and that they aren't racist, suddenly they, because this isn't the first time this has happened, where someone advocating this, you know, the woke attitude seems to, you know, do the exact opposite when nobody's looking. Why do we see a lot more of that?
People love the chemical change in their body when they complain.
Mm.
It's actually, you get endorphins going and it becomes like a drug.
True.
You notice grumpy people or people who love conflict, they just do it over and over because it puts a certain chemical into their system that they become.
You know, that reminds me of a conversation I had with my wife on Sunday. I was at the cigar shop. And it was very quiet and very serene. I was the only one there. And
your wife was at the cigar shop?
No, she was at home. I went to the cigar shop because she wanted me out of the house so she could clean.
Oh, I was starting to think you found your dream girl.
No. Although she has visited, you know, with me before. So anyway, this old timer comes in and wants to watch baseball on the TV. So he turns it up really loud. And I said, hey, no problem. That's what you do at the cigar lounge, you know. But then instead of watching the game, he turns on his computer. He's got his face in the screen. He's not paying any attention whatsoever. So what I do is I go on Facebook and I complain about this old timer that it wanted to watch TV and is now not watching it. And I made some funny cracks and, you know, and that was it. And then I go home and tell Sarah, and she's like, well, why didn't you ask him to turn it down instead of complaining? And I said, well, if I solved the problem, I wouldn't have anything to complain about.
See, you're addicted to your own endorphins.
Yeah. It's not about the nail.
Yeah. But then she's like, why don't you do both? You fix the problem, and then you can still complain about it and make your dumb jokes, and then you get both. And it's like, I didn't have an answer to that. You know?
Yeah, you just like complaining.
And then another customer came in and said, you know, can we turn the sound down? And the old guy was too focused on his computer to answer, and the other guy asked three times and finally just picked up the remote and turned down the volume. And the guy just didn't notice. He was so focused on his computer that...
old guy.
Yeah. And it's like, see, this time it's a male. See, so I have shifted my elderly abuse from females to this male guy.
To both genders.
Yeah. See, yes. So I'm equal opportunity. Nice. There you go.
Yeah, you're an equal opportunity complainer. Anything that gets your blood boiling.
Well, it's not so much that. When I complain about stuff and put it on social media, I try to make it funny. See, so I wanted to make the funny cracks about the old guy not watching the baseball, and that's what, you know. And then it's like, well, why don't you, you know, have him turn down the volume and then make your cracks? And that's so next time I have to try to do both. I'm not used to doing things like that because it's kind of like having your cake and eating it too. It's, you know. Do I exist if I'm not complaining about something, Scott?
I mean, if you fall down in the woods, would anybody hear?
Oh, well, somebody would, because they would certainly hear a lot of cursing.
Yeah. No, complaining is complaining. It's whining. It's self-serving. Move on. Otherwise, I'm gonna have you go work at the Seattle School Board with this lady. It's
like, I don't want to move on. I want to whine about stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me you never do it, though. Ziggy, do you ever do it?
Yes. Oh, no.
And if you say no, I can ask somebody. Yeah, okay.
No, yes, I do.
I'm trying to train myself out of it.
And I do label it.
Label it what?
Yeah, I'm just complaining to complain.
Oh, okay.
I'll be over in a minute.
All right. Maybe I can use that.
When you're grumpy all the time, you're no longer grumpy. You're just normal. You're normal difficult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My kid had a phrase for that the other day. Weaponized something. I'm going to have to ask him what it was.
Weaponized grumpiness?
Weaponized incompetence. I think that's what it was.
Mm.
Weaponized incompetence. Have you ever heard of this, Dad? I have no idea what you're talking about. One, I'm not incompetent, so I can't really.
Are you, though? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, apparently I don't know how to order a shirt.
Nobody is complaining about this shirt. Okay. All right, maybe one.
maybe one.
All right, what do we have next? Do we have time for anything? We have 1 minute.
Uno minuto.
What can we do in 1 minute?
Well, did we decide? Is she racist?
I don't know. I just wanted to complain about somebody woke getting or a taste of just, her own medicine.
Oh, she's weaponized incompetent.
There you go.
Okay, we found a...
Okay. We've solved something.
Woo. Okay.
I'm not sure what we've solved, but it sounds like we've solved
something. No, but we make that promise to our listeners that we're solving the world problems.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So there we go.
I forgot about that. I didn't say that today. All right, why don't we take a break? We can make up this minute in the next one and go 16 instead of 15.
Well, we can mention that there were over 900 people arrested over the weekend at school demonstrations pro-Hamas.
Oh, really? Because I know Columbia, there are some, they've canceled their graduations, so now students are like, you know,
I'd be totally okay if no one ever graduated from Columbia ever again at this point.
Yeah.
Just love that.
Yeah, well.
The owner for the New England Patriots, he withdrew all his financial support from Columbia.
There's a lot of that going around. Yeah.
Kraft, is that his name?
I don't remember.
Robert Kraft, yeah. He pulled all his financial support from Columbia and talked about how disappointed he was in the school and how they're allowing this.
And it's the latest. Harvard had their own scandal on this, and now Columbia and others in between. And
yeah. I think I'm moving over into the camp where I'm no longer upset with the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset with the administration, the leadership, the ones that are allowing it to continue.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that...
Just drop them from the school.
Right, but they're the ones that fomented this stuff. So, I mean, they created this monster, and now they don't know how to control it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like all you have to do in life is keep your kids from killing Jews, and now suddenly we have a bunch of kids that want to go out and kill Jews.
College administrators have become weaponized incompetent.
There you go.
No. They're just allowing it to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to keep going after this break.
Craig and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com. Back with our third segment, and I guess we're going to talk about narcissists now.
All right.
Scott, I think, is the authority on this one, right?
What are you trying to say, Brian?
No, I'm just saying you've dealt with it before. You've had to deal with some...
Oh, I thought maybe you were implying that I was a narcissist.
No, no, not at all.
Because I was about to lose it.
So this article here, what is the headline? Narcissists are everywhere, but you should never tell someone they are. Experts say one of the worst things you can do in a narcissistic relationship is tell someone so, even if you are correct. Doing so may cause more harm than good. Quote, by definition, narcissistic personality styles are about lack of self-awareness and lack of self-reflective capacities, according to a psychologist whose name I cannot pronounce. But the person is the author of Should I Stay or Should I Go? Surviving a Relationship with a Narcissist. He continues, if you're going to say something like this to someone and it's going to result in a productive conversation, it absolutely will not.
So says Ramani Durvasula.
Good on you for attempting to...
Well, I had to get it right because I'm a narcissist. I want to credit.
I didn't say that. I didn't accuse you of anything. I've said you have experience in dealing with people that are...
In my line of work, I deal with a lot of narcissists, for sure.
Yeah. So you know more about them than I do, for sure.
And it's never gone well.
Right.
I actually solicited some counselors to ask them about how do we deal with this personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Both counselors told me they will not diagnose narcissism. You know, you got all these conditions, psychological conditions and personality profiles and stuff. They'll label you all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're passive aggressive, you're an enabler, all this. They say, we never diagnose narcissism.
And what was the reason for that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I said, really?
I mean, does it trigger a level of government involvement?
I don't know. I'll have to do a little more research and come and get back on that one.
Okay.
But It has to do with it never goes well.
Hmm. Well, the article continues here. Narcissists can't handle even the slightest criticism or feedback because it wounds their grandiose sense of self. As a result, no matter how kindly or gently you word it, they will lash out severely if you tell them they're a narcissist.
Yeah.
You'll get yelled at, guilt tripped, told that you're judgmental or mean, and probably be given a list of reasons why they think you're a narcissist. This according to Chelsea Cole, another psychotherapist.
Well, I've experienced that. When you try to call someone that has a high self-worth,
okay,
right? you try to call them on stuff, and they change the subject and turn it back on you.
Yeah.
That takes skill, because I can't do it. And I've been fascinated by people who do that. And yeah,
until you live with it.
Huh?
Until you live with
it. I guess. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's fun to watch, but not to be in.
Right. Do you have experience as well, Ziggy?
Yeah, I used to live with one.
Oh, okay.
My current policy is I just walk away at some point.
I think that's all you can do, yeah.
Yeah. Because the only way what you're doing is you're rewarding bad behavior if you stay in the relationship. Mm-hmm. If you let them continue, then you're sending them a subtle message that they're okay the way they are, and you are willing to continue engaging with them. And you just can't do that. You got to walk away.
Yeah,
it's like the painter guy that I grew up as a young college kid. There's this older painter guy that I spent some time with, and he said, "Oh, you don't want every customer." No. It's like, what do you mean you don't want every customer? Nope. A paint job's a paint job. You make money. It's like, mm-hmm. No. Nope. Some customers are worth more than others, and some of them are just too much work. They're going to cost you more than the job's going to make you. And the sooner you figure out who those customers are, the faster you move on to the customers that are actually worth working with. I thought, wow.
Go where the juice is worth the squeeze.
You mean you can say no to some people? It's one of my favorite words.
Yeah.
No.
When I was selling cars, we came up with that. Or didn't come up with it, but we did do that as well. There are some customers that are more problematic than they're worth. And just because you get their money, then you have to deal with them as they return for service, as they complain about their cars because nothing's ever going to be right. And I was taught to look out for this specific type of behavior. And then it was like, but don't tell them to leave, you know, bring it to the manager, let him go out and deal with it. And
and
he would tell them to leave, you know. So, I mean, there was.
Yeah, I remember in my teenage years going through a drive through with this lady, and I'm sitting in the back, and they got the order wrong or something. And she starts yelling at him through the car window. And I'm thinking to myself, this is fast food. Just ask him to get the thing you didn't get. And you don't have to put on a scene. She pulls forward into a parking spot, gets out of the car, and then walks up to the drive-through window and starts and keeps going. That's when I stopped spending time. I started avoiding her and her environments from that day forward. It's like, so as soon as you recognize it.
This was somebody you knew.
Yeah, with at the risk of not identifying the guilty.
No, we don't want to do that.
And those that might be were connected to her. She was a Karen before we even had phrase Karen.
Before we had
Karen.
The name, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, that doctor whose name Scott got right and I didn't, Dervasula, he says, if you must confront a narcissist, focus on specific behaviors in order to avoid labeling someone. For instance, you can try asking them to not look at their phone while you're talking or to stop taking constant selfies. Apparently, selfies are a narcissistic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say I've never taken a selfie. I could probably count on one hand the amount of selfies I take. I took a selfie with my cat once, so there's one. And, he had taken my chair at home, you know, my office chair. So he jumped in my chair. I couldn't sit and do my work, so I took a picture, you know, me in front, him in the back. And it was like, you know, I can't work right now because my cat's in my chair. And that was the only selfie I can think of that I've ever taken.
Move the cat. Just move the cat.
I had to take the picture first.
Okay. Well, I'm going to follow the advice of this article. I'm going to tell you, rather than labeling you, I'll just tell you, how about you move the cat?
I did move the cat.
I'll give you a specific behavior to change.
But I didn't move the cat. I said, let's go get some food. And he heard the word food and then jumped off the chair himself. So I moved the cat by being strategic, because if I just pick him up, he's going to go, meow, you know, and we don't want that. So I said, let's go get some food. And then he jumped off the chair and ran into the kitchen, and I got the chair back. You know, I used strategery to get the cat off the chair and not force.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was using my head. It's like, how can I get him off the chair without making him upset?
Well, I like what the article says about, rather than labeling somebody, you call out a specific behavior.
Okay.
Because it said something about if you're on your phone, you put the phone down. Mm-hmm. That sounds like my mom.
Uh-oh.
If I'm with my mom and I would get on the phone or whatever, rather than her calling me a name or something, like she would say, yeah, could you put the phone down and look at me when I'm talking to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very clear request.
Right.
Rather than...
Yeah.
Putting my narcissistic self in on the defensive.
Right. Yeah, I've had to start doing that with my wife because we'll go out somewhere and the conversation will lag and then she's on the phone looking at football scores or something. And then it's like, well, I'm right here. You know, why are you
still here?
And then I say, okay, what are you looking at? Oh, you know, football this, football that. And I'm like, and I just get the flying, the buzzing fly noise in my brain because I don't tune out.
Hey, there's good news in the article, though.
What?
It says that narcissists are made, not born.
Interesting.
So there's a cure.
So then how was a narcissist get made, then?
By rewarding negative behavior.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody's putting up with it. We call those people enablers.
Enablers, yeah.
Yeah, just let them keep getting away with it, and then you keep getting what you keep getting, and you don't understand. Well, you haven't changed anything.
I see.
Right? So your cat's going to continue to sit on your chair.
No, that cat has passed. So yeah, so we don't have that problem anymore. But
no, you still have the problem.
No, I don't.
The cat didn't have it. The cat wasn't the problem. You were the problem.
I don't have the cat's not there anymore.
I'm trying to point out a behavior rather than call you a narcissist.
But no, how
move
is
the
it,
cat?
How is it being a narcissist by letting somebody have my chair? I have given up my chair to someone else who needs it at the moment, and isn't that being
compliant?
I don't know. You were trying to avoid conflict with the cat.
Well, and you found a different way to try and address it rather than going straight at
the lack of
bad
sleep
behavior.
Means I can't. I'm not firing all eight cylinders here, so I can't. Yeah, exactly. So
short note.
Yeah, but no, I'm being charitable. I'm being the cat decided he needed the chair in that moment, and I'm letting him have it because I put others first. How was that narcissistic?
Because you're catering to your own comfort.
No, I had to kneel in front of my desk instead of sit in a chair. That was uncomfortable.
Yes, but it was more comfortable than trying to deal with the cat in your chair. So you picked the lesser of two evils.
I see.
And in a subconscious way, it's self-serving.
I see.
I'm just trying to mess with you in every single way I can. Right.
But no, I'm just thinking of Buster. He just wanted a place to sit and lick himself, so he picked my chair.
Who'd have thought that all those psych classes in college would have actually paid off?
Well, I don't know if this is the format you expected them to pay off in, but...
Well, we should remember, because there's another statement in here, that if you think you're going to say something to someone and it's going to result in a productive conversation, you need to remind yourself it's not.
Mm.
That's irrational thinking on your own.
Which you have experience with.
Yeah, if you realize you're the one in conflict... They're happy the way they are, and they're going to continue to be that way. Then you have to deal with where the actual problem is. It's with you, with self. And I've always done better when I took responsibility for whatever condition I think I'm in, rather than pointing the finger at somebody else and saying, oh, they have a problem, or they're a narcissist, or they're unwilling to move a cat. No, that's them. Let them be them.
It was Buster, though. I mean, you can't be mean to Buster. Ziggy, was that your experience as well?
Yeah.
How did you solve it?
he did the Scott with three T's. He did my policy. He walked away.
Yes, I removed myself from the situation.
There you go. The third T today stands for takeoff.
Takeoff.
Transit.
Okay. Well, let's get into San Francisco and this new poll here. Well, new. It's from January. That's how long it's been sitting here. San Francisco residents appear to have finally had enough of what they voted for and are now open to embracing some conservative ideas, according to a poll. I should point out that this is an opinion piece from John Nolte. Yeah, not the actor. John Nolte is his name, writing for Breitbart, so there is a slant here. The San Francisco's Chamber of Commerce annual City Beat poll was conducted back in January. And after years and years of one of the most left-wing cities in America getting exactly what it voted for in terms of violent crime, filthy streets, drugs everywhere, and a vacant downtown caused by also insanely high taxes, these dummies appear to have woken up. According to this poll, after just a few short years of living with the reality of their stupid ideas, boy, did I... I told you there was bias, right? The people of San Francisco are now hardcore Reaganites, demanding tax breaks for corporations, drug tests for welfare, and law and order. And some of the highlights, 69% say crime has gotten worse. Only 61% feel safe visiting downtown during the day, and yada, yada, yada. The poll says one thing. The way they vote is going to be another. They will never vote for anything conservative in that city. I don't care what label they put on it. They will continue to vote for these things while at the same time, complaining about them, but not complaining as it is in a way to make any changes, but to like, oh my gosh, why is there so much poo in the street? You know,
mom would have solved this one too. She did years ago.
What did she say?
She told me
not to poo in the street.
She doesn't use that word, I don't think, but would say it this way. Right. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And they got it, and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. We believe you. Yeah.
You're catering to the cat, and now you got cats sitting in your chairs everywhere. I'm just all over you today.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, we have the new cat now, and when he likes to jump on the bed with us and sleep with us at night, and what he does is he tends to favor my side. So either he will block me in from the edge of the bed, so I'm between him and my wife, or he'll get between us and push me off the edge because he's huge. You know, he's like 15, 16 pounds. He's a big cat. And when he spreads out, you just kind of, you gotta kind of contort yourself to make room for them, you know, and that usually ends up with me on the edge of the bed, almost falling out. My wife is like, "Well, no, I don't have a problem. He's not on my side." And it's like, you know, so it's like it seems that yes, I'm always accommodating kitty cats, and
yeah,
maybe that's a
well. The article,
I think it's a good problem to have, but
what's funny or ironic in this story is San Franciscans, they want change, right? Which is what got them in trouble in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
But now they want this change. They want incentives for small businesses, and some people, 81%, want the same incentives for big businesses. They want tax incentives. They want all these incentives. I got some incentives for you.
Okay.
Change the laws. Enforce the law. Don't let people do this stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw money at a problem that's... They haven't talked about solving the actual problem.
Well, they always throw money at problems and it never solves anything.
Yeah, and the article's full of name calling. Just like it we is. Talked about yeah. in the last segment, yeah. You don't call a narcissist. You don't speak of Democrats in a bad way. Don't speak of Republicans in a bad way, because now you're polarizing and now we're not talking about the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
Magatards.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see that phrase in there?
Yes, we're all magatards now.
I've never heard that phrase
Trump
before.
Bro, Q-tard, magatards, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would be the Democrat Weird. Equivalent? A demitard?
I guess, yeah. Or just leftist scum, communist. I mean, we got all kinds of names for
them. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grumpy Stillskin is back. Grumpy Stillskin.
No, it's not grumpy. It's just, I mean, that's what they are. And they're not real people. So you can shove them off the roof and drop them out of helicopters and nothing happens. They just kind of bounce on the ground when they land.
Do we think anything's actually going to change in San Francisco?
No, nothing's going to change in San Francisco.
Okay. So it's a non-story.
The only thing that is going to change is that as more businesses leave, because where I work downtown there, yeah, there's nothing there. All the restaurants are gone. The shops are closed.
Wow.
It's awful. And so more and more people are going to leave. The city's not going to get its tax income from those properties. Landlords are going to have to sell their buildings at a loss, and eventually San Francisco becomes Detroit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is
great ocean views,
because this is not just San Francisco. Mm-hmm. This goes way beyond San Francisco. What are we, like 40 miles, 30 miles or something?
We're 40 miles east, yeah.
Okay, so we're seeing the same kind of stuff in our town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Empty business fronts, trash on the street, different things. And it's getting worse and worse to where at some point it's going to break.
Sure.
Yeah.
I saw a poll. I think CNN put out something where Trump has, for the first time, has a clear popular vote advantage on Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I believe it. I don't actually care.
And but
it,
there'll be a poll the next day saying the opposite.
Right.
That tends to be how it goes.
Why does this story come out, though? Because people are getting tired of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is this article here? Because we're tired of not feeling safe and having things dirty and people getting away with crime. I love what it said. It said 34% of people feel safe to go out at night in San Francisco.
It's not a lot.
That's way too high. 34%. How about 3-4% feel safe going out at night in San Francisco?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
I know. When I leave at night, it's usually my shift ends at 7. It's like you just get in the car and go, you know.
Right.
You don't hang around.
Walking Dead when the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm. And my office is near a homeless shelter, so there's a lot of Walking Dead around the building. So anyway. Well, we are running late here. We got to take a break back for our final segment after this. Greg and Scott on Radioslot.com. Ziggy providing some of the theme music. Back for our post-game wrap-up.
He's a musician.
He is. Yeah, he's a better one than I am.
Today's post-game report brought to you by Weaponized Incompetence.
You're a nicer guitar.
It's actually what makes Grumpy Stillskin grumpy, is when incompetence is weaponized around him. He gets grumpy.
No, I was born that way. I just
came out. We're all that way. what is it? When bad behavior.
I wouldn't be grumpy if people weren't so. I'm grumpy because I can't sleep, and I can't sleep, so I can't talk. It's like I wouldn't be grumpy if there weren't so many idiots around. So that's what I was trying to say. And
I'm pretty sure you just made my point.
What is your point?
Weaponized incompetence. When things are incompetent and they become weaponized, that's what makes us grumpy.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Right? You're having trouble sleeping, you can't solve it, it makes you grumpy.
Yeah.
So.
But there's no one to blame except, I don't know, maybe too much caffeine. Maybe I should not.
Well, usually self is to blame. When you allow bad behavior, you're actually encouraging it. When you reward bad behavior, that's what you're actually doing, is you're weaponizing the incompetence of the scenario that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the best thing is to address the issue rather than label it or call names or anything like that. You got to say, hey, can you put the phone down and look at me when we're talking? Hey, I noticed the trash is still here. I asked you to, rather than calling them lazy, say, hey, can you take out the trash? Right? So anyways, this kind of is in the forefront and back of my head. I've been spinning on this because I lost an icon on Saturday in my life. My first boss I ever had. His name happened to be Zig as well. Not this Ziggy. We still have Ziggy. Okay. But Zig was the first boss I ever had. He was one of the hardest working men I've ever met in my life. He taught me about work ethic and paying attention to detail. And I was thinking during the break, I was like, you know, he never allowed incompetence to continue. He would all bad behavior. He stop. No, we're going to redo this, the whole thing. But at the same time, instead of but, and at the same time, or yet, he had a sense of humor, right? Have some fun, work with people, do the dance, rather than just pick sides, call names, all that stuff. That's the problem we have with politics. We have a problem we have in family dynamics and all those things. So, have a sense of humor, be nice, but then know what you're going to put up with and what you're not going to put up with. And then maybe your streets won't have poop on them.
Or drug needles.
Right?
You
won't have to throw money at something.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, actually, I think it's a sign when you start throwing money at something, there's probably a bad behavior that's being rewarded. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's costing you money.
Yeah.
So, and I don't have enough money to throw at all the problems in the world, so I got to find ways to hold on to pinch my pennies.
Mm. Okay. I like that.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to think, well, I don't have anything to add to it.
No.
So, Ziggy, do you have any final thoughts?
Your response is your responsibility.
Mm.
Oh.
Who said that? Who gave you that pearl of wisdom?
Somebody I know.
Oh, okay.
Significant
a
other.
A very special lady.
I'm going to be a special lady. And a very exciting girl.
Okay, so Scott's going to do the show without a shirt, and he's going to sing.
Yay.
Yeah. We're, might not make it to a full year.
Yeah.
This is episode 51.
I should have said that in the beginning. Yeah, so next week is our 52nd, and that'll be a full, you know, officially 1 year. I mean, ignoring the best ofs that we had to do.
Right.
But yeah, that'll be a full year of this podcast. And
can you imagine?
I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will hopefully be awake for our 52nd episode.
And we're almost to the end of our challenge, too. 10 episodes without using the Sailor Twist name.
Without talking about Dead Tooth, yeah. And then, boy, there's been a lot lately to talk about with her new record. And some of the criticism she's gotten for it, and some of her fans are actually actively engaging in street gatherings to play the new record and show their support for her, and it's actually been quite interesting.
Maybe we'll get to that next episode.
Maybe not. Yeah. But yeah, so we're
maybe not
after. Yeah, yeah. It just depends on what comes out this week. But
you're gonna find anything,
I guess. But yeah, next week we get our next week we qualify for the mugs. So tell Taylor's number one fan that she needs to start designing,
start spinning the
coffee mugs and all that. Yeah. So
start throwing clay.
That's right.
Right on.
All right. Well, that is it for this week. We got to go. It's time for Mary throw her hat in the air. You're gonna make it after all.
Meow.